Well, ladies and gentlemen, tell me if I'm being a little too self-obsessed, but as I understand it, the FBI has said that there is a unspecific but credible possibility that this show will be preempted again today. Is that just me being too? Anyway, we're going to soldier on because that's what we do. That's what we Americans do. We soldier on. So this broadcast is originating today in our peripatetic trip around the globe from New Orleans, Louisiana. And it's great to be here for a panoply of reasons, as usual, but some extraordinary reasons on this day. Speaking of preemptions, before I get to that, a lot of the stations around the country preempted this broadcast last week. We'd like to welcome you all back, and I'll say again, for the sake of the listeners who did not struggle onto the website to hear this broadcast, if your station preempted us and is now back, please let them know you're happy the show is back, because they'll interpret your silence some other way. The program has already been canceled in Washington, D.C., and I think some other place in the South, so this is an important time to let your station know that if you like this broadcast, that you like this broadcast. And if you don't like this broadcast, I'm sure there's a station rerunning Car Talk just up and or down the dial right now. Why don't you visit them? Anyway, New Orleans, a lovely place to be anyway, but and since its economy is totally dependent on tourism, come on down. But especially right now, first of all, this appears to be the legitimate first day of autumn, and while which is a season that has not been memorialized in song here. You know, there is no song, I believe, called Autumn in New Orleans, which there should be, because as some other radio guy once described the haunches of the big fat lady that spread over Hammond, Indiana all summer long, well, it's doubly true of New Orleans, and when that lifts, as it did today, and you just have this beautiful autumn day, it's a perfectly wonderful day to be here. But also, the New Orleans Film Festival gave a rousingly wonderful reception to my new little film, Teddy Bear's Picnic, for which I'm eternally grateful. And more to the point, ladies and gentlemen, it's something that people here have grumbled about for years, and now it turns out to be something they're bragging about. You know, because life is like that. What you think is your curse turns out to be your blessing. You ever notice that? So it is here. New Orleans has always been what the military would refer to as a target-poor environment. But now it's something to be grateful for. So from a secure... You know how secure this location is where I'm broadcasting from today? There's Dick Cheney in the other room, with beads on. From New Orleans, Louisiana, hello, welcome to the show.
But deep down inside, help brother get further. Now I find I'm inclined to believe one another. Yeah. All players. Now look at here.
sure to call me all out of my name. If you had my feelings, I'm quite sure you'd feel the same.
From the edge of America, no, from the middle of America, from the French Quarter, ladies, from a secure location in the French Quarter. Dick, you all right? Dick Cheney, ladies and gentlemen, hanging out with us today. You need another hurricane, babe? Okay. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to Le Show, the resolutely unpreemptible Le Show. And let's look at what else is going on first, before we get to what's really going on. Okay, it's been a while since we talked about the wonderland of digital television, and despite everything else, developments are proceeding at the usual backward snail's pace, but something new is happening. The FCC, in a 3-1 vote this week, yeah, they had time to do this week, they weren't focusing on anything else, a 3-1 vote ruled Thursday that public television stations can run commercials on some of their new digital channels and or services. That's right. Forget viewers like you. No, you know, viewers like you can pay, and then there'll be commercials too. It's a twofer, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bonus. Think of the commercials as a bonus, won't you? Come on. Okay, thank you. According to the Associated Press, digital is a new, more efficient technology. Yeah, we're seeing how efficient it is. How efficient is it for you? It's so efficient that it arrives out of sync. That's efficiency, ladies and gentlemen. It allows broadcasters to transmit much more programming over the same channel. Oh, it's efficient for the broadcast. I see. I get it. John Lawson, president of America's Public Television Stations. See, they're America's public television stations. They got to be good. Said examples of how some stations plan to use their extra digital channels include fee-based services such as college courses aired in rural areas, brought to you by Burger King, subscriptions to televised lectures, brought to you by Honda, and even textbooks, brought to you by Coke. Now, he didn't say those, but that's what he means, if the FCC is right. The nation's 354 public television stations now are funded solely through private donations from viewers like you and dealers like them. To now to come. The commission retained the current advertising ban on the free public TV over-the-air programming. No commercial interruptions of Antique Roadshow for now. Beyond the corporate sponsorship messages that are currently aired, which I believe, I don't know the rules exactly, but I believe the and it's also for public radio, the rules allow almost anything to be said as long as there are no verbs. You know, they can't actually say, go buy it. There are no imperative verbs can be used. But otherwise, they offer a wide range of... This is perfectly fine. That's a microphone stand there, dear. The FCC also ruled that a substantial majority of a public television station's entirely entire weekly digital capacity must remain non-commercial. But they didn't define what a substantial majority means. Well, we have the experience of that last year in Florida. The commission said public broadcasters that do put on ads will be subject to a 5% tax. The head of the PBS said public broadcasters need a new revenue source to help make the required switch to digital TV. Bake sales? Quilts? Oh, is there a band marching by? Let's open that door. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the... No, that's not. It's not a band marching by, is it? Oh, yeah. Let's hear some of that music right now. Now you can barely hear it. There's a parade going on outside our facility. Oh, there they are. Let's pick up some of that music. This is live from the streets of New Orleans. Can't stop that. Can't stop the music. Wasn't it Alan Carr who said that? And me, I'm sitting in here talking to you. So, back to the story. Jennifer Lawson of Public TV said public broadcasters need a new revenue source to help make the switch to digital TV, you see. So it's all because they have to go digital, because the Congress decreed a few years ago that broadcasters must switch to digital by the end of 2006, which, as we all know, is not going to happen. The chairman of the FCC, Michael Powell, son of Colin, yes, it's true, said, as a result of his decision this week, that's the squeaking door closing on that band, quote, the soul of public broadcasting is in no way compromised. I don't think it is a path to commercialization, but an extension of one that already exists. The soul of public television is not compromised, says the head of the FCC. Who would know? He would know from Seoul. This, a memo from CBS News to its CBS News affiliates this week, when CBS News added an extra half hour to the CBS Evening News. This was a memo to stations. To those stations who normally take the second feed of the CBS Evening News, which is the 7 o'clock feed, you must access your correct feed. Do not take the second half hour of the first feed, which is the extended extra coverage portion of the feed. And here's why. Quote, this is an unrated half hour, and you will affect the ratings performance of the CBS Evening News. So, people got their eye on the ball still, you know? It's a new age, but as I've been trying to emphasize, everything has not changed. Now, gay rights groups this week. By the way, Reverend Louis Sheldon, it was pointed out on this broadcast last week, for those of you who missed it, Reverend Louis Sheldon, head of the Family Values Coalition, who has not joined this week's apologies for a statement he made about a week and a half ago, demanding that aid authorities in New York City give aid to victims of the World Trade Center disaster on the basis of one man, one woman marriages. That is to say, he was denouncing the fact that surviving members of gay partnerships were the recipients of aid. He said that was advancing the gay agenda. He has not yet been forced to apologize, Jerry Falwell style, nor has Pat Robertson, who is on the air every day to this moment, saying, if we want God's protection, we got to get back in good with God. Meanwhile, gay rights groups have now demanded that the United States Navy condemn sailors who scrawled an anti-gay epithet on a bomb intended for Afghanistan. The epithet read, quote, hijack this fag. It was, unquote, written on a bomb aboard the aircraft carrier Enterprise in the Arabian Sea. It was photographed by the Associated Press and disseminated around the world. The Navy has no policy on what sailors write on a bomb, but a spokesman... I'm sorry. It's serious business we're doing here. A spokesman condemned the use of the anti-gay epithet and said sailors on aircraft would be advised to keep messages positive from now on. Hello there. Enjoy this bomb, won't you? My suspicion, and it has not yet been been proven true, so it remains a suspicion, for which I'll take full credit at this point, is, you know, that one of the first bombs that was photographed, not the one that had the anti-gay epithet, but the first one I saw that was headed for Afghanistan, one among the first, had NYPD scrawled on it, I guess, as tribute to the police heroes in New York City, which I thought was touching and appropriate and interesting. And then my second thought, of course, was, okay, how many producers of television shows are on the air right now saying, can you write the practice on the next bomb? Can you write Everybody Loves Raymond on a bomb? Haven't seen it yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to happen, does it? We are sending, as you know, along with the bombs, food. Nobody's scrawled anything on the food so far. Of course, the packages in which the food is contained contain messages saying that this food is a gift from the people of the United States of America. That a message is written in English, French, and German. Yes, they are the languages of Afghanistan, as you've observed. Now, to the contents of the food packages. This is news that I didn't see here in this country, but this is from a British newspaper. Most Afghans live on bread and rice. High carb. It's a high carb country. And they have never seen the kind of food contained in the parcels. What's in the parcels? Did you know this? Do you know what's in the parcels? Baked beans, beans in a tomato vinaigrette, peanut butter, strawberry jam, a biscuit, salt and pepper, and a fruit bar. Now, is there any warning on the package that it contains, you know, maybe some Afghans are allergic to peanuts? No, he can't even serve peanuts on a plane anymore, let alone, but now he can drop them on Afghanistan. Baked beans. Beans in a tomato vinaigrette. So it's heavy on the beans. Peanut butter, strawberry jam, a biscuit, salt, pepper, and a fruit bar. None of the food meets strict Islamic requirements for food preparation. Reports from the aid workers left in the country say those who do eat the food from these airdrops suffer digestive problems because their malnourished stomachs can't process beans, 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 tomato, beans, beans, peanuts, and beans. More beans, Vicar? It is now a cliche, ladies and gentlemen, that we had a ferocious failure of intelligence that preceded the September 11th attacks. Query that. This from another London newspaper today. The U.S. administration had very specific information about Osama bin Laden, his whereabouts, details of his al-Qaeda network, and the degree of Pakistani military and security involvement in Afghanistan as far back as March, courtesy of the Russians, but still elected to take no action. The latest issue of Jane's Intelligence Review, Dick Cheney, are you listening? Or you just want another hurricane? Okay. Published from London, says that Moscow's permanent mission at the United Nations submitted an unprecedentedly detailed report to the UN Security Council 6 months before September 11th. They were less of an American intelligence failure and more the result of U.S. inaction based on, quote, a political decision not to act against bin Laden, unquote. The intelligence, according to Jane's Intelligence Review, included details of Pakistan's crucial aid to the Taliban, which enjoys a symbiotic relationship with al-Qaeda. Jane's, which says its information comes from the highest levels of the UN, said the information also detailed the extent to which the Taliban is involved in drug trafficking. The Russians had not only provided a listing of all bin Laden's bases, his government contact, and foreign advisors, but also enough to indicate his whereabouts, which, of course, is now out of date. Will we know that here? I don't know. I don't know that. Some quotes for this week that you may have missed. Prior to the Ukrainians admitting that it was a Ukrainian missile that shot down that a stray Ukrainian missile that shot down that aircraft that was on its way from Tel Aviv to Siberia. Before, as I say, the Ukrainians acknowledged it, they issued this statement, which goes into the books right alongside Silvio Berlusconi's denial of his anti-Islamic diatribe. Prime Minister of Italy Berlusconi said, in trying to deny that he had said what he had said, quote, "My culture doesn't allow me to say such stupid things." Always useful, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the Ukrainian response to the allegation, now admitted, that it was their missile that shot down the plane. Quote, "While we don't confirm that it was a Ukrainian missile, we do acknowledge that this theory has a right to exist." That is always good. You're not correct, but your point of view has a right to exist. There's a company called NARS Cosmetics. Do you know about this? Anyway, they were coming out with a new line of cosmetics, and Jennifer Gandia, a spokesman for NARS Cosmetics, explaining a name change in a new line of cosmetics, a quintessential collection of shades centered around strong, timeless red lips, said this, quote, "At such a sensitive time in our history, we want to do our part to communicate with our customers and colleagues in a positive manner. Consequently, we have decided to change the name of our Holiday 2000 Artist Palette from Damage to Erotica," unquote. That's positive. You could write that on a bomb. That's positive. Steve Kaz, editor of the National Enquirer. Since 11 of the 19 terrorists involved in the September 11th attacks had been in South Florida, and one worked out at a nearby gym, says Steve Kaz, quote, "Our first thought was that this was bioterrorism," speaking of the anthrax outbreak at the American Media Building. Continuing to quote Steve Kaz, "I hate to say media companies are under attack. It sounds so inflammatory, but you begin to see a certain logic to what's taking place," unquote. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the editor of the National Enquirer is regretful about saying something that sounds inflammatory. Maybe this is a new age. And finally, in the pile of quotes you may not have seen, regarding United States intelligence of Afghanistan, you know, we have probably the world's best satellite intelligence and the world's worst human intelligence. "Satellite photography of the Afghan mountains presents even experienced photo interpreters with a daunting task. Because, as one senior official put it, quote, one Afghan mountain looks like every other Afghan mountain."
Asleep, but she's talking to me. She's walking round wearing all of my clothes. As she runs out of things to say and grabs my coat to walk away. "How about another first kiss?" she said. "How about another first kiss?" Me, but we've run out of things to to say, and we'll be happy anyway. So how about another first kiss, she said. How about another first kiss, I said. I want another first kiss like this. How about another first kiss? How about another first kiss, she said. How about another first kiss, I said. I want another first kiss like this. How about another first kiss?
This is Le Show, taking a moment to bring you this week's news of patents and trademarks.
Yes.
A review of U.S. Patent and Trademark Office records shows that only one application was submitted on September 11th of this year. An application to trademark the term World Trade Center for a TV or movie production. Michael Hayden of New Jersey, a restaurateur who describes himself as, quote, trying hard to break into the film business, unquote, filed for the trademark at 2:40 that afternoon. That's like 4 hours. That's, I don't know, a few hours after things went bad. Hayden said he was not trying to capitalize on the tragedy, noting that film producers had trademarked the term Pearl Harbor in advance of making the recent movie of the same name. Gee, I think more time had elapsed. Can we check on that? Dick Cheney, do you know that? Yes, we're confirming. We're getting a confirmation of that. Quote, if they ever do a movie, I'd like to get involved, said Hayden, unquote, who promised he would donate a portion of future earnings from the trademark, if it's approved. But he doesn't say where he would donate it. He has another pending trademark for a film, Dog Cinema, a proposed funny, entertaining light film about canines and their owners. And Australian composers Nigel Hellyer, a.k.a. Dr. Sonic, and John Drummond have copyrighted 100 billion telephone tone sequences. You see, every time you dial a number, you play a short melody. With the aid of a computer, Hellyer and Drummond have notated the tones of every imaginable phone number combination and claimed the melodies as their own. Yes, you could argue that copyright law is going too far, and you might not be wrong. This week's apologies, ladies and gentlemen. At the top of the list, Joe Moore, a special advisor to UK Transportation Secretary Stephen Byers. Joe Moore is one of the British government's most senior spin doctors. Within minutes of the terrorist attack on the Twin Towers, even before Michael Hayden had filed for his trademark application, Joe Moore had sent email advisory to her colleagues suggesting that September 11th was, quote, a very good day to get out any news we want to bury, unquote. The memo has put Ms. Moore, a 38-year-old former head of the press at the Labour Party, under intense pressure. This week she said, it was clearly a mistake which I regret. I would like to sincerely apologize for the offense I have caused. It was wrong to send the email, and I accept responsibility for doing so. A good day to put out news we want to bury. Here's news I didn't know we knew. From, again, the British press, the United States media have proved willing to comply with military orders when it matters. 17 news organizations in this country, ladies and gentlemen, knew 3 days in advance that the bombing of Afghanistan was to begin last Sunday, and they said nothing. They could have let me know. I did a whole show. Tony, apropos, of course, of the flap that's currently going on regarding whether to air videotapes or to publish transcripts of statements from Osama bin Laden and his spokespeople. Tony Blair this week will tell British broadcasters to stop running unedited propaganda supplied by, as he calls him now, Osama bin Laden. Meanwhile, Condoleezza Rice, the national security advisor of this country, had a conference call with the heads of American networks on Wednesday of this week, expressing his concern, expressing White House concern about the broadcasting of unedited tapes of Osama bin Laden. White House spokesman Ari Watch What You Say and Watch What You Do Fleischer called the tapes at best propaganda, and at worst, coded messages. The networks agreed to show restraint before airing a tape unedited, although there was little agreement beyond that. A couple of networks this weekend refused to show the latest tape from an Al-Qaeda spokesman, claiming it was not newsworthy, although I think CNN did. Dan Rather said, my attitude, apropos of the conference call from Condoleezza Rice, is thank you very much. We appreciate the suggestion. We'll take it under consideration because we don't want to imperil the lives of any American. He added, there's a professional responsibility, this is Dan Rather, to remain strongly independent, to keep your skepticism, if not cynicism, intact, and to remain wary anytime the government seeks to influence editorial decisions in inappropriate ways. But he quickly added, I didn't think that the government's concerns were inappropriate. Yeah. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may recall that back when the British government was fighting the situation in Ireland, Northern Ireland, when the situation in Northern Ireland was more full of unrest than it happens to be at the moment, there was a ban in the United Kingdom on putting Gerry Adams, the head of the civilian wing of the IRA, Irish Republican Army, on British radio or television. There was a law or a rule in Britain that you could not see or hear Gerry Adams himself. So the BBC and other networks hired actors to portray, to read excerpts of Gerry Adams' statements, since you could not either show or play audio tape of him. And I have no inside information that that may be what's in the offing at CBS News, but then again, maybe I do. Oh, okay, Mr. Nidal.
Sorry?
You're Mr. Nidal, Mr. Ahmed Nidal. You're the actor they hired?
Yes, sir, but I'm sorry. My stage name is Chase W. Ashton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's not on any of our paperwork.
I know. I changed it yesterday.
Okay, well, as long as you're the right guy.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
That was a bitch of an audition. By the way, I think I was the only guy there who was a pro, and all the rest of them were cab drivers or ran falafel stands or something.
Now, tell me about it. We called the union asking for an agent who represented Arab-looking actors, and they hung up on us.
Oh, listen, don't get me started on the union. They're the ones who made me add the W.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there already was a Chase Ashton, they said.
Okay, anyway, you've been told the drill here?
Well, I think so. I'm reading Osama bin Laden's remarks on the CBS Evening News, so you don't have to show tape of him. Uh-huh. What is that, like a government thing?
It's a responsibility thing. Uh-huh. Okay, look, Dan's coming in any minute. We're going to do at least his first one as a pre-tape, but let's just cry a couple of dry runs, tweak the lighting on the position, make sure your mic is okay.
All right. Am I reading off the prompter there, or do you want me to memorize, or what?
You know what? I think if it's okay with you, reading off the prompter might give you the right kind of haunted terrorist look in your eyes.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I read prompter last year on The Guiding Light. I played falafel salesman number one. He was surly but sensitive.
Okay, so let's just say we're rolling tape, okay. And Jimmy, the floor manager, will give you the countdown.
3, 2.
Excuse me, is there a problem? Do you want the words bigger? Do you need the words bigger?
No, I just didn't hear one.
Ah, right. The one is understood. You'll hear the 3 and the 2.
Uh-huh.
You give yourself your own one.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
In 3, 2, 1.
No, not out loud.
Huh?
You give it to yourself inside where your head is.
Uh-huh. Got it.
In 3, 2.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out. That is the meaning of the jihad I have...
Hold it.
Problem?
Yeah.
Not loud enough, too loud, because I make adjustments like that. You know, the director I worked for in my Mentos commercial said he'd never seen any...
Chase, you got the job. But it's jihad, not jihad.
Ah, okay. No, I knew the correct pronunciation, uh-huh. But I thought you might want me to I don't know, play it a little more American.
I think since this is the news, we probably should err on the side of accurate pronunciation, you know?
Okay.
I think that would make us all feel better about doing this.
Sure.
Also, I think you gotta make him a little less friendly if you can.
Oh, I can. It's just...
Problem?
Dan's coming in.
Okay.
No, it's just that, you know, my face is going to be on camera, right?
Well, if it's not, we're wasting a lot of money on these lights.
Well, I just... I mean...
Yeah, what?
If people are watching and they think I'm Osama bin Laden, you know, and then the next day they see me in Walgreens.
Dan, this is Chase Ashton.
Chase W. Ashton, it's a union thing.
Chase W., welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Great casting, gentlemen. This fellow looks swarthier than a heifer's freckle. So, we ready to try one here?
Okay, I think we are, Dan.
Good.
Chase, the countdown is for Dan.
All right.
You'll take my cue. Jimmy?
In three... Two.
You won't hear the...
He knows that.
Terrorist leader Osama bin Laden today issued a new videotape played throughout the Middle East on the Al Jazeera satellite channel. In line with new CBS News policy, we will not show you that videotape, but here is part of bin Laden's statement read by an actor.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out.
Sir?
That is the meaning of the jihad.
Jesus. No, sir, please.
Hmm?
You're wearing a microphone. It's not a hollering contest we're running here.
I'm sorry. The director said
that. The director now says split the difference, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
While we're stopped, He said an actor?
Yes, sir. I know we're not really in the recreation business. In my book, that's always been a Fox thing.
Oh.
But, you know, to tell you the truth, I feel teenage groom uneasy about it myself. But it came down marble hard and steroid strong from on high. If we show any more bin Laden tapes, then our White House correspondent's going to be filing his stories from the Starbucks and DuPont Circle. So
no, that's fine. But my agent said I get billing.
Excuse me?
He said it was a deal breaker. In a box, he said, Chase W. Ashton as Osama bin Laden. I mean, I did have a box on guiding light.
All right, look, why don't we take a quick five?
You know what, sir? Let me exercise my prerogative as managing editor of this broadcast and suggest something that might just help us all out here. Let's take 10.
All right, Ruby, get me the...
Look, it's okay. Maybe for, you know, security reasons, It's better without a credit.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Picking it up and splitting the difference,
right.
And...
Three, two,
one. That is the meaning of the jihad I have proclaimed. I say as a proud son of Arabia that we will fight to the last Afghan. Death to America. Dan?
Okay, look, I don't think Osama bin Laden throws it to Dan.
It was on the prompter.
All right, I'll take care of it. Right. Okay, Chase, if you could just let Jimmy take you over and get your sheet teched down.
Uh-huh.
It's a little white.
Sure, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Yeah, Elliot. Well, the Letterman people said no? Well, we expected that, huh? What have you heard from Conan?
I think we'll be okay, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, sir.
Well,
tell you what let's do. Hmm? Let's monitor the other newscasts extra careful tonight, huh? I don't want our bin Laden to be more actory than theirs.
Done deal.
I'm so speechless. You saw me crying, you've never known. I'm so speechless. I don't wanna lose it.
love to go through this tragedy.
There's no room for me
in the hotel.
Only some memory.
I feel empty. Love is like a bubble, easily breakable. I can take the fake for my own sake. Cutting the rope from your bow.
Something still sticks in my throat.
Don't make my mouth water.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I say, I'm broadcasting this week from New Orleans, Louisiana, which is a city incredibly dependent on tourism. Come on down! But another city that's pretty totally dependent on tourism, that and tourism, is Las Vegas, Nevada. And as you probably know, well, last week on the Lost show, which some of you may have accessed at www.harryshearer.com or kcrw.com. I read a story about Las Vegas starting a television advertising campaign. Now you've probably seen it on the air already. It's a campaign in which the city is trying to invite you back to say it's okay, you know, to spend a couple of days taking off time from, you know, concerns about white powder at NBC. You know, I would check the 17th floor, but that's just me. Oh, that's the old days. That's true. Anyway, Las Vegas, for their advertising campaign, as you've probably noticed, has enlisted a song by Frank Sinatra. The story of that song is it was recorded in 1980-81 by Frank for Chrysler, for a series of commercials that apparently never aired, and the as I noted last week, the Sinatra Foundation made it available to Las Vegas. Yes, I know, the Sinatra Foundation. So for those of you who missed it last week, I was fortunate enough in rummaging around, you know, the archives that I have access to find an unreleased Frank Sinatra song that is even more on message regarding Las Vegas.
You got to come to Las Vegas. It's cool to hang out where it's hot. Whatever game you like to play, the house is favored, the candy's liquor flavored. Give us all that you've got. The chicks love to mix in Las Vegas. Day or night, they're putting on a show. You got 50 cent shrimp, $2 lobsters. Nobody's owned by mobsters. Just as long as you remember to bring your dough. You know the sun, it always shines in Las Vegas. The golfing's great, you can bet on that. You got old ladies spending their days with those slot machines. They're losing their quarters, they're dreaming their dreams. It's a swinging affair any time of the year. Get out of there and come up here. Francis Albert says, come up here.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am leaving. That concludes this edition of Le Show. I gotta go out and catch that parade. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations fingers crossed, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, on XM Satellite Radio, and on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. And it would be just like not having to see tape of anybody in full, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Once again, my thanks to the ineffable Bob Dunn for making today's program audible from WWL-TV New Orleans. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, you right. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there were no jokes about Rush Limbaugh going deaf on this broadcast. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.